It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should do the show outside. We need to get some sort of veranda built or some sort of...
A balcony?
Know, yeah, so we could just sit outside. You know, someplace quiet, a park.
Give me some birds chirping in the background, yeah. Some good show sound.
Which birds? Yeah. How many bird calls do you know?
Oh, no, I'm going to be bad at this.
None?
None.
None?
None.
Okay.
A seagull. Ah! I could definitely spot a seagull.
All right, what an answer.
You know, like the easy ones. A crow, maybe.
Ah!
Okay. That's easy.
We've established that you know those calls.
Yeah. The big birds.
You're listening to and on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday.
Is there a reason you thought Taylor Swift went to Nebraska versus Cincinnati last night?
I saw someone tweet that she deserves a better first game to celebrate the engagement, and I wasn't sure if that meant that she and Travis went to Nebraska-Cincinnati. Joe and I talking before the break. Or if she just watched Nebraska-Cincinnati.
I apologize for even questioning. She was there.
Okay.
Her and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes were all at Nebraska-Cincinnati last night.
So she's at Nebraska-Cincinnati.
Okay.
She's a new football fan. That's something we've learned. And she jumped on the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, with good reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, then she went to watch, was that her first college football game? And it's the Cincinnati Bearcats and Nebraska Cornhuskers. And
maybe.
Cincinnati lost.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it, does make a little bit of sense because Travis Kelce went to Cincinnati.
Yes, right.
Right, that's the obvious. They didn't just decide, hey, want to go to Nebraska, Cincinnati tonight if they had no ties to either program.
It's like when I was dating my wife, probably before we were married, we went to a Syracuse basketball game. You know, like something to do.
Unless what I thought happened is, because I saw Mahomes was at the game, and I just assumed that he went to support his lookalike, Dylan Raiola.
That's right.
The quarterback for Nebraska.
Who leans into the lookalike status.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
And dresses like him.
Dresses like him, wears the same number, has the same hair. Yeah. He, like, copies his mannerisms and the way he walks and just everything. Yeah.
Which is pretty weird.
Yeah, it's pretty strange behavior, I think. Although it might get him, I don't know, it'll get him more attention and it'll get him drafted. I don't know.
It might.
So...
will any draft analyst be able to say, you know, he really kind of reminds me of Mahomes? Well, yeah, he's trying to.
Oh, man.
He might as well wear a costume.
Collinsworth cannot wait for that guy to appear in Sunday Night Football. Like, you know who this guy reminds me of? Yeah, that's common.
Dylan Raiola is his name. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's a Friday. It's our last Friday that's not a football Friday. Right? I mean, next week we're talking Cowboys-Eagles at this time, and we're also getting ready for Chiefs-Chargers in Brazil, which will be free on YouTube for everybody. And that's a big game. We'll be watching that one to see if the Chiefs can get, punched in the face by the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's happening. And in the meantime, we've got a Micah Parsons trade. So if you want to join us, 803-0550. The Parsons trade, before this happened, I was talking with Jerry Ostrowski and Joe Marino, and I said, if Parsons were to get traded, it would be the biggest trade since blank. What NFL trade comes close to this? People will say Khalil Mack. It's not the same. Khalil Mack,
yeah.
You kind of can't justify it just based on the return, because the return is not enough. And
right.
Khalil Mack had... fewer years of his prime left. He was still very good, but
right.
He was not Parsons.
No, Parsons also played, not that this should matter all the way, but he plays for the Cowboys. And I think his profile, just him being on the Cowboys making this trade, I do think raises its profile a little bit. Why do people still know what the Herschel Walker trade is?
That's right.
It's not just that it was Herschel Walker and all the stuff that came with it. It was that the Cowboys made that trade.
Also, correction, Khalil Mack might have been right in the same prime neighborhood.
Age-wise, they were probably similar,
yeah,
right?
When he went to the Bears, he was 27.
Yeah. So, you know, that part of it is similar, but I think this is bigger than the Khalil Mack trade, so it's got to be something before that.
Okay.
And you're going to what? Like, I'm thinking of quarterback trades, maybe? Like, could it have been Russell Wilson getting traded? No, right?
And that's pretty big.
When it happened at the time, it didn't really work out. Russell Wilson, maybe?
Yeah, a Super Bowl winning quarterback gets traded.
for multiple first-round picks.
Yeah.
From his, I mean, the team that he won it with, he was still relatively good, and he wasn't like 37 years old. It's not like when Rodgers gets traded. So, you know, that one might be defendable for that. Otherwise, am I going back to like, I'm not going back to the Herschel Walker trade, am I?
It feels like it's close, but probably not.
Or the Marshall, not the Marshall Faulk trade, the Eric Dickerson trade before that even. Just, I'm going to be thinking of ones in the late 80s and early 90s, I think.
Tyreek Hill trade was pretty big. Again, he's got fewer years of his prime at the time, I think. I guess I should check all these. It's just a monster. It's a monster trade. And Jerry Jones, you know, today if you're a Cowboys fan, if you would, not that we talk to too many Cowboys fans,
mm-hmm.
it would be close to a disown my team moment for me.
Tyreek, by the way, was 28 when he got
okay,
traded.
Okay, so, you know.
But 28 at wide receiver, you already got 5 years left at best, whereas Parsons might have 10.
Right, that's probably right. I would consider disowning my team, because until the owner was gone, and that, of course, has no end in sight. There's no reason to. His press conference yesterday after trading Parsons, I saw he was asked a question. Somebody timed it. He was asked a question and answered the first question for 11 minutes. He just talked.
Come on.
He just talked.
It wasn't that. I only took his press conference in clips. I actually want to go back and watch the full thing.
He just kept rambling.
11 minutes.
And rambling and rambling. Uh-huh. And
he called him Michael a few times,
yeah,
I think.
He called
that.
Him Michael. He said, we got to stop the run. He said, this is in the best interest of our franchise this year.
Uh-huh.
He said that this is something that makes them better in the now. If they were going to do this and they really thought this was in the best interest of their football team, they should have done it pre-draft. They'd have gotten a lot more.
Yeah.
They should have done it pre-free agency.
They would have had more teams that could have been involved.
That's right. If Parsons was actually available, think about the Myles Garrett sweepstakes that never came to pass. Like,
right.
If instead that's Micah Parsons in February, then the Bills are in it. Everybody's in it.
Right.
They're making cap space. They're thinking, okay, I got $21 million, $25 million right now in cap space. I'll make the trade and give them the extension and see what I can get. They would have got a lot more. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're negotiating with how many teams? Three? Two? The comparisons to the Luka Doncic trade are kind of good. Like, oh, you got a good player in return.
Yeah.
And you got picks.
Right.
But what? A generational talent kind of player? A top-tier player in the NFL? You just, in the middle of a...
That there's no reason to believe is going to be worse anytime soon.
No, and you're not bad enough to think you're going to tear it down. Like, you've got a lot of talent. You've got Dak Prescott. I mean, he's pretty good. Your coach might be a joke, but Parsons actually gets traded. It's nuts. It's a wild thing. Right before the season,
yeah.
And I saw some also suggesting, like, what are the Cowboys? What are the players thinking? It's a game week of prep. They are in a game week. They play a week from yesterday. Like, oh, our best players got traded.
And the first thing I thought of was Dak, who was signed a contract extension last year, sitting there at 32 years old, probably thinking, what did I sign up for here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? I've got CeeDee Lamb and what else right now to work with? The coach is a joke, and the defense now is probably going to be a joke. Who's their third best player today? Go ahead and name their third best player.
Kevontae Turpin. No, he left.
The returner.
No,
he's not there.
Him. It's not him.
Like, they don't have, it feels like, anything.
It might be the guy they got back from Green Bay. Kenny Clark.
It might be.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
I saw a few people going like, oh, I wonder if they're targeting Arch Manning. You know, maybe that's what this is. And I'm thinking, there's no chance they're losing 15 games if Prescott's their quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, their quarterback's too good. So that can't be your plan, and he's at an age where you should be trying to go all in. What are you trading a premier Hall of Fame pass rusher for? To do the picks, when those picks are good, if you even hit on them, by the way, Green Bay is going to be good. Maybe they're not picking 30th, but they should be picking in the 20s at least.
They might win the Super Bowl.
Maybe they win the Super Bowl.
The thing they needed more than anything was this.
Yeah. So those are going to be late first-round picks. Like, okay, congratulations, you hit on those picks. By the time they're good, Dak Prescott's 35 years old.
Hmm.
What are you doing? That's why maybe I am wondering if they're thinking about the next phase, the next era. But if you are, what did you just sign Dak Prescott for? And I think it all just leads back to they have an 82-year-old man running their franchise.
Not just an
that is a lot of it.
Not just an 82-year-old man, but at the risk of saying something like I'm going to say, which is like he's someone that has had success in his life, so he thinks that anything he does will work out for him.
Right.
Right? Hubris is what it is.
But he hasn't won like
oh, I know. But he thinks
he hasn't totally.
He thinks he just knows better. He thinks he's right. Playing 3D chess, and it's quite clear the Cowboys as an organization are they are such a minor league really are a minor league franchise with a major league reputation.
Yeah.
They're in the same division as the Eagles. And some of the things that Jerry Jones said yesterday are complete red flags. You know, like, well, it takes a lot of guys. You can't have everybody. I know, like, a lot of GMs talk like that. They talk like that when they've lost a trade, or they talk like that when they want that answer to protect them from the truth. You know, I was talking at training camp with Mike Catalana from Rochester, Buffalo Plus YouTube channel and WHM in Rochester. And, you know, the cap is real, the cap isn't real stuff. I liked it how he said it, which is no team has ever lost a player they really wanted to keep because of the cap. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
No team has ever lost a player they really wanted to keep. If a player left, they'll say, we just couldn't. We'd love to have him, but we just couldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You didn't actually really want to keep that player. Nobody gets into cap prison, cap jail the way that these teams suggest that they do. They sometimes get a little tight and then say, well, all right, let's make some harder decisions. But when you're good, the cap, you just keep pushing it down the road. It keeps growing. You have endless opportunities to move money around.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, like, Micah Parsons, well, you got it. It takes a team. Okay. Sure, man. Here's what the quote was that set me off. A lot of capital is required to build a team. It takes more than one. You have to allocate your resources, whether it be draft picks or whether it be finances. That team plays in the same division as the Eagles.
Yeah.
You just can't be farther away.
They couldn't.
The Eagles have $182 million sunk into 2030.
Yeah.
And payroll. Why? Because they're like, oh, we have to pay everybody. Instead of you can't pay everybody, it's we'll pay everybody. And we'll figure it out in 5 years. And that, man, the Cowboys, what a mess. Good for Micah Parsons. He won. The season of the hold-in, every player won. They all won. Nobody was hard-lined. Parsons, I guess, was hard-lined because the report is that Jerry Jones told him, play on the fifth-year option or leave.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. And then he got his trade and his contract extension.
And a big one.
So that's Parsons, Hendrickson, McLaurin, Cook, the four big hold-ins. They all got paid.
But one got traded.
One got moved.
I guess I can't even really take much of a victory lap, though, of thinking, like, I've been saying I just want one of these guys to get traded, just so that I could believe that one of these trade requests is actually real.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the time, it's, hey, this person requested a trade, and we all just go, yeah, but it's just a negotiating
tactic. That's how it happens. Yeah, that's the next step.
The guy never gets dealt. Finally, a guy got dealt, but maybe I need Jerry Jones to be the owner and the general manager to have that actually come to fruition, and I don't know how many of those there are in the league. There might be two guys like that in the league. I saw a good comparison to how the Cowboys run their business and how they pay players and contract stuff to what the Bengals do, which is constantly criticized. They really are the Bengals with a better PR agent, right? And a lesser quarterback. That's basically what they are. And we hammer the Bengals constantly. The whole league does for how they do it. So I think the Cowboys have to start being treated the same way. And what is, like you said, it's like a minor league team. They act like a small market team. Who trades Micah Parsons? Teams like the Jaguars make that trade and send him away. You're supposed to be Dallas. I'm glad for it, right? Like, it's hilarious watching the NFC East fans take a victory lap because he's running the team, and he'll keep doing that. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what the possible defense was for trading a player at that age. He wants $47 million. You pay him $47 million
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. Or you keep going. If it's, we think he's worth 42. We're willing to make you higher paid than T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, but we're not going $6 million higher than those guys. I mean, I was a little surprised to see the number. I thought it'd be 40, like, right in line with Watt and Garrett, and it was higher than Watt and Garrett. But You don't trade him. That's the thing you definitely don't do if you have him. You do not trade him. You go into the season with this situation before you trade him, and that's kind of what it sounds like they were afraid of, having this linger into the regular season. And I would say you're punting on 10 years of a Hall of Fame pass rusher because you're afraid of what it might do to you in week one against the Eagles.
Right.
I think they're a joke. I think they're a total joke of a franchise.
So the obvious question is, did the Bills miss out? Do you feel like they missed out? Do you feel like the only thing you really could say, because the Bills could not make this trade with the salary cap. They would have had to move heaven and earth. The compensation, the contract and two firsts and a three-time Pro Bowler, they don't really have that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to say it's Ed Oliver and two first-round picks?
Sure.
I mean, I'd make that trade. I would not blink. I'd make that trade for Micah Parsons.
Yep, me too.
And give him the contract. I would do that. But the Bills couldn't do that because of the cap. So if you are sitting here this morning waking up saying this is too bad that the Bills couldn't make this move and be the team to get this over the finish line, you have to kind of go back in time and say, well, and if you want to say this is all hindsight, you can do that. Well, if they hadn't signed Bosa and if they hadn't signed Josh Palmer, those two, like that would have done it. Although that's not even it. Those two don't take up cap space of $21 million. They take up like an AAV of $21
million. Mm-hmm.
So you need even more. All right, if they don't sign Palmer and Bosa and Cook and
Shakir?
Curtis Samuel.
You want to
go far enough back in time to say if they hadn't extended, you know, you have to
Dawson
find.
Dawson Knox.
And, sure, yeah. Dawson Knox. Now I'm back. Should I have known 3-4 years ago I needed cap space? And there's a point to be made about that. This is kind of getting way in the weeds of the cap and foresight. And I'm not necessarily saying I believe this, but if you wanted to make this point, you'd say what Bean should do is operate with some buffer zone.
Mm-hmm.
Stay 12 below the cap in case something like this happens. So it's not that hard to snag the big fish when he's available.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the counter to that is, well, how often does that happen? Should I just...
Right, it's rare.
Should I play $20 million under the cap because I'm waiting for the next Brandon Ayuk, who never got traded, or Garrett, or Hendrickson? His was like a $17 million hit, or
yeah.
McLaurin, I think, was 19, or Parsons was 21. Should I just operate my franchise below the cap and really take away from what I can do on the field to leave room in case this happens? I think you could make the case. I think it's a tough case to make. There are teams out there that have space, and some of the reason they have space is because they're in a different timeline. The Packers have, of course, signed their quarterback to big money. One thing that's different between the Bills and the Packers that I like to point out, which I'm not connecting these two things, but remember last year and 2 years ago, the Packers model at receiver, I was talking about how, wow, look at the Packers model at receiver.
Yeah.
And the model was they just drafted like six of them in a two-year span. Eventually, they will get paid. Eventually, everybody gets paid. If you're good, you get paid. So the Packers are kind of here in a window where they drafted young and they don't have a ton of big contracts, so they have the room to do something like this.
Right.
So if you want the Bills to be that, there's a way to be that. I don't know if it's really being honest to say, I would have called that differently the whole way. Would you love to have Micah Parsons? Yes. But it means a series of decisions based on where they are, fewer extensions, decide we're not going to extend middle tier guys that we think are really pretty good. We're going to have more of a model of you only get paid if you're elite. Which is kind of the Niners. The Niners do that. The Niners pay the top-tier guys, and they go out and spend a bunch of draft picks. That's the Rams, too. There are some teams that kind of do that. Think of your own fantasy approach, Joe. You're in an auction draft. What do you want to do? Buy 10 $20 players or two $70 players and guys after that? You know, there's two approaches. 803-0550.
And it really isn't that similar, Green Bay and the Bills, like where they are in their timelines, other than, like, to me, the only thing you cannot say or like the worst defense you could make for why the Bills couldn't do this is, well, you're paying Josh Allen, so you could never have a player like this.
Yeah, that's not defendable because a lot of teams are paying a player like a Josh Allen, and Josh even took a discount.
Jordan Love makes the exact $55 million per year. Josh Allen makes $55 million per year.
There you go.
They make the exact same per year, the Green Bay quarterback and the Buffalo quarterback. The biggest difference is that Green Bay, they're a little earlier in their timeline, right? So they don't have all these extensions, these middle-tier extensions yet, kind of like where the Bills were when they traded for Von Miller. They had paid Josh.
Or signed Von, yeah.
Signed Von Miller. When they signed Von, they had signed Josh, but they hadn't paid James Cook or Terrell Bernard or Christian Benford or Greg Rousseau or all the guys, Dawson Knox even maybe. Maybe they had paid Knox. He'd be the one that they did.
Yeah, they paid him fast.
Like, they didn't have all these contracts on their books, and that's kind of what Green Bay looks like right now. So it is – we don't know what they'll do when they get to that next stage. I guess they have Parsons now, so you kind of know. Like, they're saying, yeah, we're okay walking away from, you know, if Jaden Reed is worth $30 million in 2 years, like, we might be okay walking away from that. Or if we have a guard that's worth – $12 million per year, who's really good. He's not like the best, but he's really good. Yeah, we're okay in 2 years with him walking away because we went out and got Micah Parsons. And if I could pick between the two, that's the one I would rather have. No doubt. Especially, the Bills get credit for this all the time. Who's better at pulling guys off the street or undrafted late-round pick guys and developing them into roles that you can trust on the team? How many Bills are around the roster on that? You got to be good at that when you're going to go this strategy. If you're going to go top-end, elite talent, and we're going to spend $47 million on one guy, that'll work for you if you are good at, I'm going to fill this spot for $1 million and this spot for $2 million and this spot for $1.5 million, and I'm going to get away with it. And wouldn't everybody believe the Bills would be good at that in comparison to a lot of teams? That's their reputation. But you would have had to do this before. You would have had to it's almost frustrating they have so many guys that are right in this middle tier. It's why I didn't want them to pay Cook. I wanted them to draw the line at some point. One too many. And they have not drawn that line yet. They might never draw that line. They might say, guys that are just pretty good, we'll sign them for as long as they keep coming through our doors.
Well, this is the genesis of the fight about receiver with Bean. It's not even about, like, which it's always characterized, they need a number one. It's, no, instead of spending 11 on Josh Palmer, just draft a guy and let that possibly grow into something. And maybe that's a way to save on the cap. But whatever, if they had done that, then they signed a defensive end for $11 million like a Bosa. Whatever, the Bills are in good shape. It's unfortunate they kind of couldn't get this guy. The good news is the Ravens didn't. The Chiefs didn't.
This is true.
The Bengals didn't. The Patriots didn't. You know, you might lose
Denver.
You might lose to the Packers in the Super Bowl, which I don't know if we'd all take that right now. You might take that right now. 803-0550. Give us your thoughts on – it feels like it's a good day to kind of talk about their build and this kind of thing. Will Bean ever be the kind of guy that goes in on – Ed Oliver and two firsts for a guy. I mean, it's rare. So, I mean, it's not to say he wouldn't. I don't think he's afraid to. If he had the space, I think he might. But that space is, it's a bigger conversation. Like you're laying out, Joe. It really is. Like, do you like the way the Bills do it? Or should they do it more like, I don't know, Dallas? No.
They should not do
not
that.
Like Dallas.
They definitely
what does
not
Dallas
do?
Dallas waits too long and pays. And the Bills get out ahead of it, right? The Bills are a top-class franchise, top well-run franchise that gets things right a lot. So I anticipate we'll get some calls today about Parsons, but, you know, the context, you gotta keep it real about what they could and couldn't do. And if you want to go back in time or whatever, if you were saying it at the time, there's ways, there's avenues they could have been in the mix, but they were not really in the mix this time. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring on the big, huge Parsons trade and what the fallout means. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.